You're listening to episode 86 of the Body You Crave podcast, the one where we wrap up our three steps to lose weight for life and talk about your two secret weapons, sleep and water. Hey, hey, welcome back. All right. So we are going to wrap up this three-part series today on how do we lose weight and keep it off for life. And I want to talk about our two underrated secret fat burners. So these are things that we often take for granted. And it's sleep and water. They're things that we know. They're things that don't seem super sexy or could really have that much of an impact on our body composition and our overall health. But they are such fundamental pieces. And because they're underrated, most of the time we're not valuing these aspects. We aren't sleeping. We aren't prioritizing it. We aren't conscious and focused on drinking water. It's like, yeah, I know to do that. Or we might even be thinking, yeah, I'm already doing that, without maybe fully realizing whether or not we are always tracking it. Sometimes we think we're doing things or we think that we're doing more when we're not. So it's important to also be tracking things and noticing, when am I going to bed? How much sleep am I actually getting? How do I feel when I wake up in the morning? Do I need an alarm clock to wake me? Am I waking up in the middle of the night? What's going on? Let's talk about sleep here first. So sleep is when your body goes to work burning fat, repairing cells, building muscles, resetting hormones, and especially ones that alter your mood, things like anxiety or depression. And your hormones don't reset until you go to sleep the next night. So sometimes this is why we can feel a little bit better after a nap, but we usually don't feel better until the next day. As I get older, I really value my sleep, even in college. I was always the one that was like, all right, y'all, it's 10:30. I'm going to bed. I'm tired. And I knew my body was naturally going to be up around 6 a.m. the next morning. I was likely going to go for a run. I wanted to sleep, and that was important to me. And as we get older, we also realize how much sleep is important. And then when you get kids, the kids are now the ones waking you up. When your body is tired, it's also going to crave food. And usually it's going to crave food that gives you quick energy. So this is often going to be things like simple carbs, sugary foods. So chips, crackers, Pop-Tarts, cookies. It's those sweets and the snacky foods. That is what our brains and our bodies can look for when we're feeling tired and we need that little pick-me-up. So we're looking for that little stimulation. The other thing too is that if we're not sleeping and we're relying more on stimulants to keep us awake, like Red Bull, you know, energy drinks, coffee, things like that, it also impairs our just natural cycles and the natural rhythms. Even when you get just one less hour of sleep each night, you are 30% more hungry and 20% less satisfied, which means you need 50% more food that day just to follow hunger and satiety. So this is really important to notice. It impacts our hunger and satiety hormones that need to get reset, and noticing what an impact that has on the cravings and then on just your natural hunger and satiety. And so when you go 24 hours without sleep, or you sleep 6 hours or less 5 days in a row, it's like you are walking around drunk with a blood alcohol level of 0.1%. And being legally drunk is 0.08%. So it's as if you are functioning cognitively like you've had a couple of beers, a couple of glasses of wine. And that is not healthy. It's not sustainable. So everybody's body is going to be a little bit different, but ideally we want to go for that 7 to 9 hours of sleep each night. Now, depending on whether you've been sick, if your body needs extra rest, you might need a little bit more than that. Some nights when I play catch up, I might get like 10 hours of sleep. Those are very rare though. Usually my sweet spot is 7 to 7.5 hours. And I know that for me feels really good. Now, it might look a little bit different for you. There's also been some study and research done around REM cycles and sleep cycles, and sometimes people feel better sleeping 6 hours versus 7 hours. So again, listen to your body and listen to what feels good for you, but we typically want to be in this 7 to 9 hour range. So when you're rested, not only are you going to feel better, you're going to have more cognitive awareness. When that is operating at full capacity, you have a much easier time saying no to cravings, saying no to urges, to stop overeating, to make better food choices, even better food choices in the moment. So when we are not sleeping and we're walking around drunk, how many of y'all are eating after you've been drinking? You're snacking, you're munching, you're crunching. You're like, oh, I've had some wine. Let me go grab the Oreos. Let me go grab the chips. Let me go have something else. Look, I've done it too. Okay. There's no shame. There's no judgment. But let's just call it out for what it really is. And it's going to be much easier to make better choices for our day as a whole when we're in a good mood. and when we have that cognitive functioning and it's really able to operate at full capacity, because it will naturally get depleted throughout the day anyways. So let's not make it harder on ourselves than it needs to be. Things to help with sleep can be things like journaling beforehand, whether you want to get up and journal in the morning, or sometimes journaling at night. If there's anything that's any big life change, anything you're worried about, stressed, anxious, uncertain, journal at night before you go to bed. Get those thoughts out of your head. The other thing could be in the morning to do a brain dump. Get that out in the morning, and then also be really intentional if you're journaling in the morning about how do I want to think about my day. Because these fears and anxiety, they don't start at 8 or 9 or 10 p.m. at night. They start at 8 a.m., 7 a.m. They start when your feet first hit the ground. That's when this starts to take over. So we really want to be very aware and conscious of what we're thinking about, what we're focusing on. And are you focusing on the struggle and how hard it is, and you've tried so many times before and it hasn't worked and you're really uncertain, or there's this self-doubt? Or do you want to focus on the life that you are creating? Focusing on the body that you truly crave and the health and the lifestyle and the energy and the people and the relationships that you really want. Let's stop focusing so much on the struggle and start looking at what do you want to create. So journaling is a great habit to bring into any kind of daily practice. Meditating or prayer for a few minutes, 3 to 5 minutes. It doesn't have to be long. The other thing is melatonin might help you to fall asleep, but magnesium is actually what helps you to stay asleep. And it's important to also note, when we start to see these patterns of waking up in the middle of the night or having a hard time falling back to sleep, waking up at certain times, that for me is always an indicator that I am stressed. Even if consciously I can't think of a reason, even if, quote, logically there's no good reason to be stressed, there's still some underlying stress. So I remember after moving to Bangladesh, and for at least the first year, I really struggled with sleeping. It wasn't just jet lag. It wasn't just moving all the way across the world. There were a lot of underlying thoughts that were keeping me up or having me wake up at 3 a.m. to where I couldn't fall back to sleep. And so I know if I'm waking up between 2:30 and 3:30 and I can't fall back to sleep within a few minutes, that is usually stress related. And at the time, I kept telling myself, this doesn't make sense. I shouldn't be stressed. The embassy went on a hiring freeze, so I ended up not getting the job that I wanted. So there were a few months where I was like, what am I doing with my life? But I kept telling myself, no, but I have a place to live. I have food. I have all of my basic needs met. My student loans were on forbearance. It was fine. Things are being taken care of. But in the back of my mind, there was this thought of, what are you doing with your life? There was also some frustration and some self-loathing of like, how crappy is your life that your best option is to go to this third world country? Like, you have messed up horribly. Like, how sucky is it that this is your best option? There was a lot of shame and judgment and just these really indulgent thoughts where it was just wallowing in pity and despair. And I knew God wanted me there. That's the reason why I stayed, because I knew that is where God wanted me. But there was this other sneaky thought of, I have nothing to go home to. I would go back to my grandfather's house, maybe drive his car again. I didn't have a job. I didn't have a boyfriend. I didn't have my own apartment. I didn't have my own car. I had a lot of debt at that point. My credit card only went up to $3,000, but I maxed it out just getting into Bangladesh. I didn't even have a way to fly home if I wanted to, but I had nothing to go home to, is what I kept telling myself. And then it was like, how shitty is your life that this is your best option? Of course there's stress. Of course there's this fear of, what am I doing? And God, what are you doing? There's a lot that can be going on underneath that we have to really just acknowledge and accept of, oh yeah, get really honest with yourself about what is it that you're thinking and saying to yourself or about yourself. And this is really good, because I mentioned this in a previous episode as well. It's these subtle underlying thoughts. Things like, I'm not good enough. I should be further along. I should be in a bigger house or have a nicer car. Or I should have figured this out by now. I shouldn't still be struggling with this. I shouldn't have gained the weight back. We have to be really aware of how much we are arguing with reality and the toll that it takes, not just how it's harder than to show up and live our life and to be engaged and present with our family or our kids, but how it really takes a toll on things like sleep, which then impact your weight loss. And then there's stress in that aspect, but then there's stress of raising kids, there's stress in jobs, there's stress in relationships and in marriages, there's stress in getting married and getting divorced and buying a house and moving states. There's all kinds of stress out that can also be impacting things like sleep and then cortisol levels. And I didn't put stress in here, but I'm just going to take a second to talk about it here because this is something to note. Your body is designed to keep you safe and to keep you alive. And your brain is wired for those same things, to keep you safe, to keep you alive. So it wants to stick with what's familiar. We want to avoid pain and seek pleasure via the path of least resistance. Okay, and so we often can turn to food because of that, but it's also important to see how weight loss is not your body's first and primary focus. Okay, we can't just turn off a certain part of our brain or flip a switch in our body and be like, it's okay that we're going through this right now. Don't worry, body. We're just trying to lose weight. Don't worry about this divorce over here. Don't worry about losing your job. Just focus over here on you can lose the weight. No, it doesn't work like that because your body is storing everything in case something bad happens, right? It's like, oh shit, there's a famine. Oh no, there's a world war. Oh, we have got to store and hold on to the weight that we have because we might need it to survive and stay alive. It's very primitive, but it really is important to notice when your body and your brain is in fight or flight response, when it's in a high stress, high alert state, it is not going to spend the energy burning fat. It is specifically going to hold on to the fat in case you need to run away from a bear. And even though we aren't running away from bears and lions and cheetahs anymore, our bodies and our brains see the types of emotional and mental threats the same way. So it's good to just see when we have really high stress levels, it's not just about cortisol balancing, it's about understanding how the body is wired. And it's not going to release the weight until it's safe. Because if it releases too much, you might die. That's the fear. Again, it's a very primal, very primitive way of looking at things, of understanding how the body is wired. So some other things in terms of sleep and managing stress is also looking at how much fun are you having in your life, in your day? Are you spending time relaxing? Are you giving yourself time to relax and decompress? Not just at the end of the night, but also during the day, finding time for rest, finding time for fun, finding time to read or to watch a show. Let's not watch that show at 3 a.m. though. Now let's talk about water for a minute. The more hydrated you are, the better your body functions. We want to get our bodies to a place where they can burn fat optimally. So the more hydrated you are, it has the energy and the resources to burn fat now instead of just trying to keep you alive. The other aspect here is sometimes our bodies will mistake dehydration for hunger, and we feel hungry even though our body is just thirsty. And so this is why it can be helpful to think about, can I have a few sips of water? Can I have 8 ounces of water and wait to tune into my body and see, am I still hungry in 15 or 20 minutes? Sometimes that's enough. That's all you need. And then we can also notice, oh, if I have a glass of water and then I wait 30 minutes and I'm still really hungry, yeah, it's time to eat. A lot of times in the morning, I'm drinking water and coffee, tea, things like that. Oftentimes I'm exercising, I'm moving. Sometimes I'm going to the park with Caleb or we're going to run errands or we're doing things. And I'm not always thinking about food. But by 11, 12, 1 o'clock, certainly, I'm at the point where I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to need to eat. It's time. My body needs some food. It needs some fuel. When it comes to water, the goal is to drink half your body weight in ounces of water every single day. And so our starting point is going to be 65 ounces per day. That's our baseline. If you right now are, maybe you're drinking 32 ounces roughly, you're not drinking very much. The goal is to get to 65 and to be able to maintain it for 3 to 4 weeks consistently before you continue to increase. And then you can get up to 100, 120, but we're going to do this incrementally. Because the thought of having to chug a gallon of water probably makes a lot of you want to cringe and just not want to drink it at all. You're just like, well, screw it. I can't do that. I'm not going to do it at all. And we get sucked into this all or nothing thing. So we want to start with, okay, where are you at right now? And just get a baseline. So let's say you're at 30 ounces roughly. Can you get to 40 then? And can you hit 40 ounces of water? Maybe some days you hit more, but 40 ounces becomes your baseline. And you do that for a couple of weeks. Like 2 to 3. I want you to have at least 2 weeks of consistently hitting that goal before you increase it. Okay, so after 2 weeks of consistently hitting, so I would say 5 days or more, you're getting in 40 ounces of water each day, then you go up to 50 ounces. and then you go up to 60, and then you go up to 70, right? It's this slow burn. That is how you do it to where it's sustainable. You don't need to spend 3 months trying to chug a gallon of water every single day just to stop drinking it 3 months later when you stop the program because you're like, either this isn't working or sweet, I hit my goal, so now I can stop putting myself through this torture. We have to make it livable. We have to make it sustainable. One of the things that I recommend for clients, there's a couple of different tips and tricks here. I recommend setting alerts and timers on your phone. Anytime my Fitbit buzzes at me to go walk because I have my buzzer on so that I get 250 steps each hour, I'm not just focused on can I get exercise in once a day, but can I be moving throughout my day? And that's been really helpful because I can sit at my desk for hours on end. And that's not always the most helpful and the most beneficial. There's a lot of emerging science coming out about moving hourly and moving regularly throughout the day versus a 1 hour gym session in the morning and then sitting for 8 hours or sitting for 4 hours, getting up for a few minutes and then sitting for another 4 hours. So anytime your Apple Watch, your Fitbit tracker, something buzzes at you for movement, you can also use it as a reminder to drink water. I also recommend and encourage clients to have a nice water bottle that they like using, something that's refillable. Sometimes it might track how much water they're drinking or how much they've had. I know my bottle here is 32 ounces. I try to get in 2 before lunch and 2 after lunch. But I'm also drinking tea, coffee, sparkling water. I'm drinking other things outside of that as well. So even if I get in those 4 bottles, I know that's over 120 ounces. That's plenty. And for me, that feels like a really good average. For some clients, their goal is to do 1 bottle before lunch and then 1 bottle after lunch. And that's it for the day. That'll get you to 65 ounces. That's all you need. That's your baseline. But if you want to keep losing weight, if you want to break a stall or a plateau, drink a little bit more water. Try adding 10 or 15 ounces of water each day to your regimen. It's incredible to see how this really impacts our bodies and impacts our weight loss. But have a nice water bottle that you can refill. Have something where you can track, something where it's, oh yeah, I just have to drink one of these. Some people really like having a gallon jug. The key though is that you are drinking it all throughout the day. You don't need to start with a gallon either. You might want to set out some of those disposable bottles of water where maybe it's a 16-ounce bottle of water and decide, okay, how many do I want to drink today? And put those out on your desk. Put some in your car. I usually travel with a case of water in my car because I always want to have stuff on hand whenever I need it. And sometimes if I'm out doing things, I need to be able to refill my water. So having it where you are, having it where it's convenient, where you can get to it, putting the water like on your desk as a reminder of, oh yeah, I have 4 of these bottles to drink today. All right, I'm going to drink 1 before this meeting, and then I'm going to drink 1 by this time. And you can anchor it to these different times in your day. And I put lunch and dinner as some benchmarks because it can be helpful, but like start drinking water first thing in the morning, right? Wake up and drink some water. That can be the other thing. Can you get in 8 ounces of water first thing in the morning? Give yourself time to play with it. Think about what might work for you. And if one thing doesn't work, then try something else. This isn't a, oh, that didn't work for me, or I just can't. It's more about what will work for you. What can you figure out? The more you get into the habit of drinking water, the more your body is going to crave it. The more your body is going to want it. It's interesting. Our body, when it's dehydrated, it will sometimes turn off your thirst signals in the body. It will turn that part off. That's not a good thing. We want to be thirsty because we want to be drinking more water. Another aspect here is you can do flavored water. So you can flavor it with fruit. You can do Propel. If you really want to do like Crystal Light or something like that, sparkling water, black tea, black coffee, any coffee or tea that has cream or sugar in it is not going to count towards your water intake for the day. That's how I classify it. You can still drink it, but let's get really clear on what is water, what is not. And if you want to have a soda or something like that, you can, but let's also drink some water. One of my favorite mocktails is club soda or plain sparkling water with grapefruit juice. I love doing that. So finding some other ways of like you can mix and match. Juice is not going to count towards your water, but it's okay to drink stuff that's not just water. I will often drink Gatorade Fit or Body Armor Lights. Sometimes it's Propel water. Sometimes we found this dragon fruit juice that's delicious. So I'll do usually like a glass of that in the evenings. So it's just finding other ways and other things that you like and enjoy and not making it a problem. You don't have to only drink water during the day, but we want to start to increase it. So let's not complicate weight loss. Let's not complicate sleep and water. Let's just figure out how we can make it happen. If you want to make it easier on yourself, you want to make weight loss easier, drink more water. Final last words. All right. I wanted to keep this on the shorter side, but as always, I have a natural way of just talking, but I just want this to be an inspiration and a reminder of this is how weight loss is simple. This is how we make it easy. It's how we make it doable, is we allow it to be simple. We allow it to be easy. And we go to work on figuring out, why am I not drinking the water? How can I troubleshoot this? Why am I not getting sleep? Why am I not prioritizing it? Why am I not going to bed before midnight? That's where I can come in and help you to see your blind spots. And that is the value of coaching, is to have somebody who can help you see where you're getting stuck, what the obstacle is, and what's really going on, what's really happening. And I can help identify what's happening underneath the surface, because if you're struggling to sleep or you're struggling to stay asleep, then we need to be talking about stress. And that has so many different layers to it. And it's not something that we're going to solve in one session. It's not something that just changes instantaneously. It's something that you can consciously be working towards, though, to where you change how you think and how you show up in this long-term spectrum. And if you'd like some help with that, to create the body and the life that you truly crave, where you have energy and you feel in control around food and you wake up feeling refreshed and you don't need an alarm most days in order to wake up and you're ready for bed and your body is getting the nutrients and what it truly needs, let's chat. I would love to help you do this. This is exactly what I do with clients, is help them to set goals, and then we create plans that are going to help them achieve those goals. And so now we're working on creating a plan, implementing, figuring out what are the obstacles, the challenges, the roadblocks, solving for those, and moving forward. And then we get to a point where now we're going to up level and we're going to change the plan a little bit. We're going to upgrade some things. And then there's going to be some obstacles and some challenges, and we're going to work through those too. This is the cycle. This is the process. It's simple. It doesn't always feel easy in the moment because we're not trained. We're not used to this sort of thing. But that's where I can help and walk you step by step through all of it. If you would like to talk more about what this would look like for you, then I would love to chat. You can schedule a free consultation at www.bodyyoucrave.com/schedule and find a day and time on my calendar that works for you. And we'll spend some time really diving into, where do you want to be? What is the life that you truly crave? And then we work backwards to figure out how to get you there. Because it's not just about the body. Creating the body isn't going to mean a damn thing if you don't also have a life that you love. I will show you how to lose weight while still loving and enjoying your life. Okay? Let's do it. Have a great week, y'all. Here's to creating the life and body you crave.
If you like this episode, then you'll love my free virtual workshop, 5 Keys to End Emotional Eating and Lose Excess Weight for Life. You'll learn the counterintuitive reason why all your attempts to restrict food over the years has actually led to weight gain, and the mental switch you need to flick that'll have you dropping pounds without sacrificing wine, carbs, or the food you love. Get all the details at bodyyoucrave.com.